Hi, hello, and welcome to Youth Updates, a regular drop of info to help keep you in the know when it comes to youth culture. Welcome back to another Youth Updates podcast. We are really glad that you have joined us. And on the podcast this month, we've got myself, Hannah.
And myself, Beth.
And we're also joined by John, who has been with us, I think, once before quite a while ago. But he also works with myself and Beth at Youth for Christ. But John, why don't you just say hi to everyone and just give us a bit of a snapshot of kind of what you do at Youth for Christ.
Hello, everybody. My name is John.
Hi, John.
Hello. I just kicked the microphone,
That's so okay.
It might have
Don't
made
worry.
Noises. Yeah, my name's John. I run a YouTube channel called Underground here, which is on social platforms, which if you go on to YouTube, go under_ground freestyles, you'll find some freestyles from different Christian rappers from across the UK. Yay. Don't know why I sounded sarcastic when I did that. That is true.
it's actually excellent.
And then I'm also an evangelist here. So I do music under the name John Jackal, and I go into schools and festivals and stuff and talk to young people about Jesus and tell them he's great.
He is great.
It's all right.
Sounds like great stuff. So yeah, we're really glad that you have joined us for the podcast this month, and we're going to kind of go through our usual three topics as we do, and then finish up with a word of the month. So Beth is going to intro our first topic for us.
I am indeed. So this is a bit of a hot topic, and it's to do with the 4th of July. So no, not American Independence Day. Also, not the day that Hannah's going to see Hamilton, though she is going to see Hamilton that day. It is, of course, the Jenny Lek.
The Jenny Lek.
Also known as the general election.
Jenny Lek.
So, you know how we had Platy Jubes, which was Platinum Jubilee? We've now got Jenny Lek. So there's a little...
Yeah, do you not remember that?
No.
From the Platinum Jubilee
was
Platy Jubes.
Platy Jubes.
Yeah. So just to throw in a little extra word of the month for you, you can talk to your young people about the Jenny Lek.
Yeah.
I think they might go, what the heck is that?
And then you can tell them and you can feel really cool as you say it.
We are the cool people, Jenny Lek. So the general election's a bit of a funny one because obviously for a lot of young people, it'll be something they're just more aware is happening. But actually, older young people will kind of be a bit more invested. And some young people are really switched on politically. But also the whole thing is that actually this general election, it's grown-ups voting on a lot of stuff that will affect teens and under 18s. Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting thing is that in Scotland and Wales, you can already vote if you're 16 or over. So
that will affect
more
young people,
Mad,
so top-end age of young people, or even like, I guess, a bunch of year 11s as well who turn 16, so that would be like UK, like England equivalent year 11, 12, 13s. I can't quite remember what the Scottish equivalent is. But essentially, there are 3 years worth of young people who can vote in Scotland and Wales in the general election.
Wow.
And there are some parties who are trying to get younger voters in England being able to do it as well. So I think basically there's a whole bunch of parties. So I had them listed down. So there's some that do want the vote for 16 plus, and that is Green Party, Labour, Lib Dems, Plaid Cymru. I don't know if I said that properly.
Nailed it. Plaid Cymru.
And the SNP as well. And then it was Reform UK and Conservatives that didn't want it. So actually a lot of parties do want to open up the vote to younger voters, which then means that future general elections would include more young people.
And what is interesting as well is the ones that want no are the central right ones, and generally the centre left or left side, more younger people will vote for anyway.
We did see that, didn't we? We saw a stat. Mm. So just to throw in a few stats, we're obviously going to kind of just keep it informational, but 51% of young people would vote Labour is a YouGov stat that we saw. It's really interesting. And obviously then we've seen kind of some parties start to outline their policies and stuff like that.
Yeah, and obviously like they've got their own manifestos and there's a whole bunch of stuff in there.
Yeah.
But there are some bits that are sort of trickling out that are more specifically to do with young people. So for example, if you look in the Labour manifesto, they're saying they want to increase youth hubs in communities. I've already said about how several parties are wanting to bring back the votes for sort of 16, 17 year olds. But then there are also other things that might affect young people as well. So it was in the news recently about how the Conservative Party said that they would bring in monthly voluntary work or military service, like some form of mandatory national service for 18-year-olds. Yeah, so either military service or voluntary work. They said working with organisations like charities, the NHS, police, fire services, etc. So, and I think the reality is they said about 30,000 of these would be military placements. So actually compared to the amount of young people who would turn 18 in a year, I think the vast majority would end up volunteering. But that would obviously be something that would directly impact every young person if that was to happen. But say also they've said, you know, about education reform, so they would want 16 to 18 year olds to spend nearly 200 more hours with teachers in a year and replace sort of current A levels in terms of the academic things and have like an advanced British standard. So there are certain things in the manifestos that would affect young people either sooner in the future. So say for the education one with the advanced British standard, they're saying that it'd probably take 10 years to come in, whereas the mandatory national service they're saying could start as soon as September 2025. So there's some things that would affect young people now and some things that would affect them in the future. So it's also interesting to look at the manifestos and see what sort of would affect young people. But they've also I saw online that there's been I can't remember the name of the organization. I'll try and write it up in the blog if I remember, because we do the blog for this as well. But they essentially were getting young people and teenagers who aren't old enough to vote yet to kind of do a mock vote to help inform some adults on what younger voters might
want and need.
No, but I just know it's something they're doing. So they've not released the results yet, but they're kind of doing it as a way for people who want younger generations to inform the vote, because it will impact them to see what they would have wanted.
There is no way. I speak to young people. I can't imagine they'd be like, yeah, let's go into the wars.
So, but I mean, so I think it's just interesting. But yeah, and there's also stats saying only 1 in 10 young people actually believe that politicians prioritise their needs.
That's really interesting.
Which it's kind
and that's
of
politicians as a whole, isn't it?
So only across, 1 in 10 think parties, any politicians are doing things in their interest, which I think is really the whole point of a politician is you're meant to be working for the good of the country and the people in it. So interesting that young people have that view of politicians generally.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, could be something to start a conversation about in your youth setting, see if young people are interested in politics at all. But yeah, just something that we have kind of is obviously upcoming. So something really important to talk about. Moving on to something slightly... John is laughing because he already knows what's coming. Moving on to something that is slightly less serious, but I still think quite serious.
I don't know. I still think
so serious. Is we would like to talk about a current trend, and this trend that we would like to talk about, I'll hand over to John for that.
It's
what
not
trend?
Even like, this is more just a this is a 30-year-old man notice. Moaning maybe. Right. It's have you noticed boys' hair is so different? Have you noticed this?
It is.
What the heck is going on with the mullet? Can we just ask what's going on with the mullet? And why is that like a thing that young men are going, yeah, that's great?
Well, I can tell you what's going on, John. It's long on the top and back and short on the sides.
I mean, I know, look, so, just for the record.
Business in the front, party in the back.
Exactly.
That's what they say.
Business in the front, party in the back. But then they're also matching it with these mustaches.
The tash. I have noticed
so
the mustaches.
They're matching it with a mustache and a perm. Now, I've got a skin fade. If you don't know what a skin fade is, it fades from skin to like a number two on the sides. And I've got it on the back, and I have got a longer hair on the top, right? So I know that's not too far from a mullet, but I feel like a mullet is, it's like an extra maybe 5 centimetres of hair at the back, but an extra element of 100% worseness.
I'm intrigued. When did you start growing your hair out longer? Because it was shorter. Did it by any chance
probably 2 years ago
coincide with the pandemic?
Did it? No. So I, in the pandemic, I was one of those human beings that just grew out a beard. You know, like men decided not to shave. Do you remember that was a thing?
Yeah.
It was no statement. Yeah. I just decided not to shave my face.
Or
horrific.
Or some other men, when I say that, my husband, what they decide to do is make their wife watch 3 hours worth of YouTube videos in order to then be trusted to cut their hair.
Wow.
So that's what I did. I became a professional hair stylist, barber during lockdown. But the reason I bring that up is because there's a bit of speculation about whether maybe this kind of started with with some people growing out their hair during lockdown, with some people trying out some different hairstyles, because it's a bit more of a safe space to be like, if someone's like, your hair looks ridiculous, you're like, well, yours does too. So it was a bit of a safe space to kind of do that. There's also, you know,
but it's such an 80s thing.
Yeah, so seeing it in popular culture as well, because Stranger Things is a massive TV show when it finally decides to release the last season. And like, obviously that is based around, loosely around, well, it is around the 80s, but it's
also about to say it's based around the mullet.
No, I was gonna say it's based I was gonna say it's based in the 80s, but then I was like, well, it's actually kind of in a make believe world.
Yeah, but it's set in the 80s.
Yeah, it's not a documentary.
but it's kind of just where did it come from?
Sorry, you seen the mullets, right? You've seen people giving their dogs mullets now. Have you seen this on TikTok, right?
That sounds
amazing. If you're on TikTok, type in dog mullets. They're the best things.
That
and then it's literally
great.
A dog with a mullet. I mean, it's right. I mean, you can imagine it, but the videos are so much
I imagine
better.
It'd be like the more curly haired dogs.
I saw one with like a Yorkshire Terrier.
Oh my
had a
word.
Mullet. Also, just worth mentioning. So every boy has a skin fade now. I don't know if you know skin fades, girls, but most boys will have skin fades
some
with a mullet.
Some might as well,
And some boys, and I know this is a little bit older now, as in it's been around for a while, young men are getting perms. When I was in high school, I have naturally curly hair, and I used to straighten it to not look curly.
And now it's
curls
all the rage.
Get girls. that's
is that a scientific fact?
But I mean, the thing is though, can you imagine a mullet with straight hair? It just doesn't have the same.
Some do. I think Zendaya did a mullet with straight hair. She definitely did at one point.
I mean, that was imagining
in my
a man
research
with a
mustache that I did online.
Straight hair mullet.
Yeah, I think straight hair mullets are like seen as maybe a bit more of an extreme mullet, whereas a curly haired mullet is like.
One second. What I love is you said with your research, we all work in an office.
Oh yeah, I was looking at mullets earlier.
So literally, if our bosses were to come round to look over our shoulders,
I'm just looking at celebrities with mullets.
Research. Oh, look at that mullet.
Yeah.
And we got paid to look at mullets.
Yeah, it was fun.
It's not bad.
I'm massively into Formula One, and there's a racing driver called Valtteri Bottas who is just really going for it with the mullet and mustache combination. Fun fact for everyone, there is a mullet growing championship in Australia.
Wow.
Just throw that into the mix. So yeah, has some roots in Australia as well, apparently. And another fact is that the London Hairdressing Academy has launched a special masterclasses in the art of cutting a mullet, because apparently it's not easy.
Can I ask a question?
You can.
In case there's young men listening.
Yeah. Hello.
You're both ladies.
Yes.
But some girls honestly do have mullets as well. Some celebrities.
But
what
I mean is, would you, if you were in high school, this is all going on, boys start getting mullets. As young ladies, are you going, love that, I want to date a guy with a mullet? Or are you like, I hate that so much?
I tell you what puts me off more, the mustache without a beard.
I think it's the mustache, yeah.
The mustache without a beard.
Like, if it's like that with a beard, like it's the solitary mustache.
I think a subtle mullet.
Mustache.
I think a subtle mullet, mustache, no beard, maybe.
Is the subtle mullet
yeah.
with a fade? So it's almost like it goes from a thicker hair to a thinner hair.
But it's not like going down the neck. It's kind of like sitting just at the back of the neck there. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
So there you go, boys. If
there
you want to get a mustache.
The subtle.
Get a tasteful mullet.
I literally Googled mullets 2024 while we were sat here. And Vogue's done a whole article on about how the mullet is back for 2024 based off the Met Gala, because apparently loads of people at the Met Gala had mullets.
Yep.
And then also, it says here, the mullet can be traced back to ancient times and has a noble lineage.
Wow.
And apparently it was a common hairstyle for men warriors, as it was super practical. It kept their necks warm while ensuring their vision wasn't obstructed.
Wow, it's practical too.
It's a practical.
If
you are a young man and you're about to go and do
your
mandatory national service, and you want to make sure you're attractive to young women, get a subtle mullet.
Yep, and it's practical too. It'll keep your neck warm and your vision unobstructed.
And
you'll also look like you have a royal lineage.
Excellent.
So congratulations.
Excellent. Right.
All girls getting the mullet. Sorry, it's not just a boy thing. You are right, but
excellent.
Interesting.
Right. Well, let's move from that onto an issues-based topic.
Yeah.
Let's just get serious for a moment. Okay.
How do you go from these topics?
Right, there we go.
I don't know how you do this.
Like this, John. Okay, here we go. youth centres are closing, and it's really sad. That's how we're segueing into it. It actually got real sad real quick. So I saw a piece of research that said that 2/3 of council funded youth centres have closed since 2010.
That's many a centre.
Many a centre. And within that, it seems that it's it's obviously funding based, that lots of funding has been cut. There are less places for young people to kind of possibly go and call their own. A lot of these, also the ones that are kind of remaining, are kind of focused around maybe more inner city areas. Not that that is a bad thing, it's just obviously trying to appeal to greater numbers, but then obviously rural areas sometimes can struggle as a result of that. The National Youth Agency says youth services have been cut by over 77%, which, yeah, those stats are a bit scary, I feel.
It's terrifying. Mm-hmm. It's terrifying. I've got something in front of me here, which is the, what is it? Let me just check the link if people wanted to look at it. It says research brief, Parliament UK, right? Mm-hmm. And it says the spending on youth people services in 2012 was nearly £1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And now in 2021-22, it's going to be around £400 million.
I think I think that was the article I read the other day as well, where it said something like for every like £1 that's spent on youth work gets a return of like between £4 and £6 in value, because it's basically like the preventative youth work means that they end up spending less on stuff to do with crime and mental health and that because it's prevented earlier. Mm-hmm. So it actually costs the country more to not do youth work because of the how much the implications cost.
Yeah. And that, you know, that's what we're all about, really, isn't it? Like we're about kind of, supporting young people through various things, and obviously about talking to them about Jesus as well. That is the main core. But I guess we all feel that like it's just so important to invest in young people. And so that's really scary that how much the funding has been cut.
So I just saw it. Sorry, I'm just going through this as we're reading.
Go for it.
Says, among local authorities with recorded 2021-22 expenditure, spending per 11 to 19 year old ranged from £4.21, this is per young person, in Somerset, through to £287 in the City of London.
Wow.
So it is so disproportionate per young person.
Depending on where they're based around.
Wow. I mean,
Yeah.
So basically, like 28 young people in Somerset equals one person in London. Basically the funding thing, isn't it? Quick maths.
I can't. Roughly, check the maths.
Someone check the maths.
It was very rough. Yeah. I did it as if it was fine.
And no, you're right.
Yeah, throwing another one in there. 24% of young respondents to a recent survey by the youth charity Onside said that they do not have a safe space to go to where they feel like they belong.
That's too many.
That is too many. So that's 24%, so like nearly a quarter. If my maths is correct, maths check again.
If you're listening to the podcast, genuinely, please don't check our maths.
Yeah, please don't do that.
But what's insane? Yeah. Sorry. So I've been to a good few youth centres.
Yeah, because you do that quite a lot as part of your job.
Yeah,
don't
yeah.
You?
So a lot of my job is, so if you're a youth worker, you can book me, by the way, to come and speak to young people.
A bit of a shameless plug in there.
But I see quite a lot of youth centres, and generally they're all kind of on a bit of a shoestring, and they're just so reliant on volunteers. And obviously now, from the new stats, from what we understand, is volunteering is down as well. So not only is the funding down, from my observations of being with people, even the volunteers are down because there's less money. That means less people will be employed full time. And then you just have these youth centres that have got so much need but so little investment, and then naturally even like the things that they have, the equipment that they have, ends up run down and battered, because if you're a youth worker, you know what happens when you give stuff to young people. They batter and bruise it because they're young people. That's just for some reason what they do, right? And that ends up happening. So it's a bit of a dire scenario. And I do think it's incredible that the church is doing so much. Like, I know there's not as many youth groups potentially as there used to be in churches, but there are still so many youth, so many churches doing so many great youth stuff that actually we're filling a need that it seems like the government have kind of not forgotten about, but they've moved the funding elsewhere.
Yeah, and for any kind of, you know, like youth workers who are listening and kind of doing that day in, day out, and, you know, maybe have seen funding cut or seen volunteers reduce and have had to make difficult decisions or get rid of staff and all of those kind of things, just, yeah, we see you and we just thank you for everything that you do, because it's really amazing.
And Youth for Christ exists to help people out,
yeah,
in those scenarios.
Yeah, absolutely.
So reach out.
Absolutely. So shall we move into our word of the month?
Let's move.
And I think, you know, do you remember how this works, John? That we do a little jingle, but we never know how it's going to go?
No. Oh, so you just want me to make something up?
Yeah, for word of the month. You need to, I think you need to wrap it. Just the words,
no,
word of the month.
I think it's just,
or sing it.
It's the word of the month. Oh, baby, baby.
Went to Britney Spears at the end there.
I like
Woo!
It.
Hang
on, I like it a lot.
It's the word of the month. Oh, baby, baby. Okay, great.
I really enjoyed that a lot.
I don't know who the baby is.
tell us what our word of the month is, John, and what it means, please.
Bussin.
Bussin.
To town.
And they'd say,
oh.
Oi. I'm being a young person now, sorry.
Oi.
Oi. Bruv, that sandwich was bussin. That's how my young people
love
used
that
to
you
talk.
Went with a sandwich.
Right. Yeah, the sandwich is bussing. And we've done a quick little translation. So it means like good, but I've tried to create a bit of an Oxford Dictionary definition of bussing.
Okay, do it in your best Oxfordian, Oxfordian accent.
The word bussing. When something is great, people may describe it as bussing. It is primarily used to describe delicious foods, but may also refer to other awesome things, such as outstanding fashion choices, cool whips, or slick bars.
Now please describe to us
whips
what
bars.
Are cool whips and slick bars. You've added in extra ones for
cool
us.
Cool whips are particularly nice vehicles. Vehicles.
When you've got a nice
and
car.
If you're unsure of what a vehicle is...
When you've got a nice car.
Google images.
Remember, if you remember a horse and carriage, it's a motorised horse and carriage.
Lovely.
Excellent.
Bars.
Slick bars?
Oh my God.
And what is
really
a slick bar?
Here. Slick bars are lyrics created in a song. For example, I've got no...
I've got no examples.
Rap something. Do you know any rap?
But isn't it based off because music is written in bars?
Yeah, that is why.
Yeah.
But
lovely.
I just wanted to try and do some bars.
Okay.
But
Hannah's
now.
Really good at rapping.
No, she's really
Hannah,
not.
I've heard you're amazing
I'm really
rapping.
Good at wrapping gifts. I can do that for
good.
You.
Okay.
I can wrap your gifts this Christmas.
Everybody come check out this. It's Christmas. Underneath the tree is gifts. Hey.
Waka waka waka.
Waka waka. Oh. Wow.
Right.
Is this
we
offensive?
Have reached the end of our podcast.
Which some of you might be relieved to know.
Very
do
relieved.
Do another word. Do another word.
No.
We want more.
Well, do you know what it is time? What kind of wrap it is time for now?
Wrapping up the podcast.
Yes, there we go.
You looked so proud of yourself.
Yeah.
You seen
we both looked at each other. Our eyes met and we understood the assignment.
I love a good pun. I'm all about the puns. So yeah, we are going to wrap up our podcast here. We hope you've enjoyed it. Please do follow us on Spotify, etc., etc. We'll put all the links to any sources in the blog version on yfc.co.uk/youthupdates. But also, just a heads up, this is our last youth updates before the summer.
Aww.
We're taking
a little break, a little holiday.
And so we'll see you guys again in the autumn.
You're not holidaying. You're at summer festivals.
That is true. But then I'm going on holiday. Woo! So yeah, we hope you have a really great summer. If you miss us over the summer, go back and maybe listen to some older podcasts that you've not listened to yet. Thank you, John, for joining us. And that
You're welcome.
It from us over here at Youth Updates.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.